smiled, and he slipped back, resting on his side. Grabbing the arms of the chair, he pulled himself upright and found a tall, lean, white-haired man holding a piece of paper in his hand. The man was gazing at him with an amused smile that made him conscious of every square inch of skin on his black body. "Thomas?" the man asked. "Bigger Thomas?"
"Yes, sir,"
he whispered, not speaking really, but hearing his words roll involuntarily from his lips. "Come this way."
"Yes, sir."
He followed the man out of the room and down a hall. The man stopped abruptly. Bigger paused, bewildered. Then he saw, coming slowly toward him, a tall, thin, white woman, walking silently, her hands lifted delicately in the air and touching the walls to either side of her. Bigger stepped back to let her pass. Her face and hair were completely white. She seemed to him like a ghost. The man took her arm gently and held her for a moment. Bigger saw that she was old, and her gray eyes looked stony.
"Are you all right?" the man asked.
"Yes," she answered.
"Where's Peggy?"
"She's preparing dinner. I'm quite all right, Henry."
The man let go of the woman, and she walked on slowly, the long white fingers of her hands just barely touching the walls. Behind the woman, following at the hem of her dress, was a big white cat, pacing without sound.
"She's blind," Bigger thought in amazement.
"Come on this way," the man said.
"Yes, sir."
He wondered if the man had seen him staring at the woman. He would have to be careful here. There were so many strange things. He followed the man into a room. "Sit down."
"Yes, sir," he said, sitting.
"That was Mrs. Dalton," the man said.
"She's blind."
"Yes, sir." "She has a very deep interest in colored people."
"Yes, sir,"
Bigger whispered. He was conscious of the effort to breathe. He licked his lips and fumbled nervously with his cap.
"Well, I'm Mr. Dalton." "Yes, sir."
"Do you think you'd like driving a car?"
"Oh, yes, sir."
"Did you bring the paper?"
"Sir?"
"Didn't the relief give you a note to me?"
"Oh, yes, sir."
He had completely forgotten about the paper. He stood to reach into his vest pocket, and in doing so, dropped his cap. For a moment, his impulses were deadlocked. He did not know if he should pick up his cap and then find the paper, or find the paper and then pick up his cap. He decided to pick up his cap. "Put your cap here," said Mr. Dalton, indicating a place on his desk.
"Yes, sir."
Then he was stone still. The white cat bounded past him and leaped upon the desk. It sat looking at him with large, placid eyes and mewed plaintively. "What's the matter, Kate?" Mr. Dalton asked, stroking the cat's fur and smiling. Mr. Dalton turned back to Bigger. "Did you find it?"
"No, sir, but I got it here somewhere."
He hated himself at that moment. Why was he acting and feeling this way? He wanted to wave his hand and blot out the white man who was making him feel this. If not that, he wanted to blot himself out. He had not raised his eyes to the level of Mr. Dalton's face once since he had been in the house. He stood with his knees slightly bent, his lips partly open, his shoulders stooped, and his eyes held a look that went only to the surface of things. There was an organic conviction in him that this was the way white folks wanted him to be when in their presence. None had ever told him that in so many words, but their manner had made him feel that they did. He laid the cap down, noticing that Mr. Dalton was watching him closely. Maybe he was not acting right.
"God damn.
Clumsily, he searched for the paper. He could not find it at first, and he felt called upon to say something for taking so long.
"I had it right here in my vest pocket," he mumbled.
"Take your time."
"Oh, here it is."
He drew the paper forth. It was crumpled and soiled. Nervously, he straightened it out and handed it to Mr. Dalton, holding it by its very tip end. "All right now," said Mr. Dalton. "Let's see what you've got here. You live at 3721 Indiana Avenue?"
"Yes, sir."
Mr. Dalton paused, frowned, and looked up at the ceiling.
"What kind of a building is that over there?" "You mean where I live, sir?"
"Yes."
"Oh, it's just an old building."
"Where do you pay rent?"
"Down on 31st Street."
"To the Southside Real Estate Company?"
"Yes, sir."
Bigger wondered what all these questions could mean. He had heard that Mr. Dalton owned the Southside Real Estate Company, but he was not sure. "How much rent do you pay?"
$8 a week."
"For how many rooms?"
"We just got one, sir."
"I see. Now, Bigger, tell me, how old are you?"
"I'm 20, sir."
"Married?"
"No, sir."
"Sit down, you needn't stand, and I won't be long."
"Yes, sir."
He sat. The white cat still contemplated him with large, moist eyes. "Now, you have a mother, a brother, and a sister."
"Yes, sir."
"There are four of you."
"Yes, sir, there's four of us,"
he stammered, trying to show that he was not as stupid as he might appear. He felt a need to speak more, for he felt that maybe Mr. Dalton expected it. And he suddenly remembered the many times his mother had told him not to look at the floor when talking with white folks or asking for a job. He lifted his eyes and saw Mr. Dalton watching him closely. He dropped his eyes again. "They call you Bigger?"
"Yes, sir."
"Now, Bigger, I'd like to talk with you a little."
"Yes, goddammit."
He knew what was coming. He would be asked about the time he had been accused of stealing auto tires and had been sent to the reform school. He felt guilty, condemned. He should not have come here. "The relief people said some funny things about you. I'd like to talk to you about them. Now, you needn't feel ashamed with me," said Mr. Dalton, smiling. "I was a boy myself once, and I think I know how things are, so just be yourself." Mr. Dalton pulled out a package of cigarettes. "Here, have one."
"No, sir. Thank you, sir."
"You don't smoke?"
"Yes, sir. But I just don't want one now."
"Now, Bigger, the relief people said you were a very good worker when you were interested in what you were doing. Is that true?"
"Well, I do my work, sir."
"But they said you were always in trouble. How do you explain that?"
"I don't know, sir."
"Why did they send you to the reform school?" His eyes glared at the floor.
"They said I was stealing,"
he blurted out defensively.
"But I wasn't."
"Are you sure?"
"Yes, sir."
"Well, how did you get mixed up in it?"
"I was with some boys and the police picked us up."
Mr. Dalton said nothing. Bigger heard a clock ticking somewhere behind him, and he had a foolish impulse to look at it, but he restrained himself. "Well, Bigger, how do you feel about it now?"
"Sir? About what?"
"If you had a job, would you steal now?"
"Oh, no, sir," I don't steal.
Well, said Mr. Dalton, they say you can drive a car, and I'm going to give you a job. He said nothing. You think you can handle it?
Oh, yes, sir.
The pay calls for $20 a week, but I'm going to give you $25. The extra $5 is for yourself, for you to spend as you like. You will get the clothes you need and your meals. You're to sleep in the back room above the kitchen. You can give the $20 to your mother to keep your brother and sister in school. How does that sound?
It sounds all right, yes, sir.
I think we'll get along.
Yes, sir.
I don't think we'll have any trouble.
No, sir.
Now, Bigger, said Mr. Dalton, since that's settled, let's see what you'll have to do every day. I leave every morning for my office at 9. It's a 20-minute drive. You are to be back at 10 and take Miss Dalton to school. At 12, you call for Miss Dalton at the university. From then until night, you are more or less free. If either Miss Dalton or I go out at night, of course, you do the driving. You work every day, but we don't get up till noon on Sundays, so you will have Sunday mornings to yourself, unless something unexpected happens. You get one full day off every 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
You think you can handle that?
Oh, yes, sir.
And any time you're bothered about anything, come and see me. Let's talk it over.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Father?
A girl's voice sang out. Yes, Mary, said Mr. Dalton. Bigger turned and saw a white girl walk into the room. She was very slender.
Oh, I didn't know you were busy.
That's all right, Mary. What is it? Bigger saw that the girl was looking at him. Yes. She was the same girl he had seen in the movie.
Is this the new chauffeur, Father?
What do you want, Mary?
Will you get the tickets for the Thursday concert?
At Orchestra Hall?
Yes.
Yes, I'll get them.
Is this the new chauffeur?
Yes, said Mr. Dalton. This is Bigger Thomas.
Hello, Bigger,
the girl said. Bigger swallowed. He looked at Mr. Dalton, then felt that he should not have looked.
Good evening, ma'am.
The girl came close to him and stopped just opposite his chair.
Bigger, do you belong to a union?
She asked.
Now, Mary, said Mr. Dalton, frowning.
Well, Father, he should,
the girl said, turning to him, then back to Bigger.
Do you?
Mary, said Mr. Dalton.
I'm just asking him a question, Father.
Bigger hesitated. He hated the girl then. Why did she have to do this when he was trying to get a job?
No'm,
he mumbled, his head down and his eyes glowering.
And why not?
The girl asked. Bigger heard Mr. Dalton mumble something. He wished Mr. Dalton would speak and end this thing. He looked up and saw Mr. Dalton staring at the girl. She's making me lose my job, he thought. God damn. He knew nothing about unions, except that they were considered bad. And what did she mean by talking to him this way in front of Mr. Dalton, who surely didn't like unions?
We can settle about the union later, Mary, said Mr. Dalton.
But you wouldn't mind belonging to a union, would you?
The girl asked.
I don't know, ma'am, Bigger said.
Now, Mary, you can see that the boy is new, said Mr. Dalton. Leave him alone. The girl turned and poked out a red tongue at him.
All right, Mr. Capitalist.
She turned again to Bigger.
Isn't he a capitalist, Bigger?
Bigger looked at the floor and did not answer. He did not know what a capitalist was. The girl started to leave, but stopped.
"Oh, Father, if he hasn't anything else to do, let him drive me to my lecture at the university tonight."
"I'm talking to him now, Mary. He'll be through in a moment."
The girl picked up the cat and walked from the room. There was a short interval of silence. Bigger wished the girl had not said anything about unions. Maybe he would not be hired now. Or, if hired, maybe he would be fired soon if she kept acting like that. He had never seen anyone like her before. She was not a bit the way he had imagined she would be.
"Oh, Mary!"
Mr. Dalton called.
"Yes, Father?"
Bigger heard her answer from the hallway. Mr. Dalton rose and left the room. He sat still, listening. Once or twice, he thought he heard the girl laugh, but he was not sure. The best thing he could do was to leave that crazy girl alone. No wonder they called her a communist in the movies. She was crazy, all right. He had heard about unions. In his mind, unions and communists were linked. He relaxed a little, then stiffened when he heard Mr. Dalton walk back into the room. Wordlessly, the white man sat behind the desk and picked up the paper and looked at it in a long silence. Bigger watched him with lowered eyes. He knew that Mr. Dalton was thinking of something other than that paper. In his heart, he cursed that crazy girl. Maybe Mr. Dalton was deciding not to hire him. God damn. Maybe he would not get the extra $5 a week now. God damn that woman. She spoiled everything. Maybe Mr. Dalton would feel that he could not trust him.
"Oh, Bigger," said Mr. Dalton.
"Yes, sir."
"I want you to know why I'm hiring you."
"Yes, sir."
"You see, Bigger, I'm a supporter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Did you ever hear of that organization?"
"No, sir."
"Well, it doesn't matter," said Mr. Dalton. "Have you had your dinner?"
"No, sir."
"Well, I think you'll do." Mr. Dalton pushed a button. There was silence. The woman who had answered the front door came in.
"Yes, Mr. Dalton."
"Peggy, this is Bigger. He is going to drive for us. Give him something to eat and show him where he's to sleep and where the car is."
"Yes, Mr. Dalton."
"And Bigger, at 8:30, drive Miss Dalton out to the university and wait for her," said Mr. Dalton.
"Yes, sir."
"That's all now."
"Yes, sir."
"Come with me," Peggy said.
Bigger rose and got his cap and followed the woman through the house to the kitchen. The air was full of the scent of food cooking, and pots bubbled on the stove.
"Sit here," Peggy said, clearing a place for him at a white-topped table.
He sat and rested his cap on his knees. He felt a little better now that he was out of the front part of the house, but still not quite comfortable.
"Dinner isn't quite ready yet," Peggy said. "You like bacon and eggs?"
"Yes'm."
"Coffee?"
"Yes'm."
He sat looking at the white walls of the kitchen and heard the woman stir about behind him.
"Did Mr. Dalton tell you about the furnace?"
"No'm."
"Well, he must have forgotten it. You're supposed to attend to that, too. I'll show you where it is before you go."
"You mean I got to keep the fire going, ma'am?"
"Yes, but it's easy. Did you ever fire before?"
"No."
"You can learn. There's nothing to it."
"Yes'm."
Peggy seemed kind enough, but maybe she was being kind in order to shove her part of the work on him. Well, he would wait and see. If she got nasty, he would talk to Mr. Dalton about her. He smelt the odor of frying bacon and realized that he was very hungry. He had forgotten to buy a sandwich with the quarter his mother had given him, and he had not eaten since morning. Peggy placed a plate, knife, fork, spoon, sugar, cream, and bread before him. Then she dished up the bacon and eggs.